covering the world of professional wrestling with the latest interviews, rumors, and maybe even some spoilers. You're listening to All Things Wrestling Radio on today's Talk 1490.
Awesome!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
It's a phenomenal edition of All Things Wrestling Radio. I think you know why I'm saying this. We're going to have AJ Styles on the show a little bit later. United States champion, former WWE champion, the man that once liked to be known as the face that runs the place. So many different nicknames. The champ that runs the camp. You can just go on and on. But my name is Isaac Wenzel. I don't really have any nicknames besides Mark. or I like to call myself the Sour Patch Mark because I love Sour Patch Kids and I'm a stupid Mark. With me, who booed me, is none other than Panda Pete. What's going on, Pete?
Not a whole lot, man. It's good to be back doing the show.
Yeah, it is. Last week, you know, scheduling and stuff like that, things got a little hectic, so we did a bit of a best of. Plus, oh no, it's my allergies. Holy smoke.
You were dying.
I was. Seriously, that Friday, I left early. Like, I can't remember. I've never had, like, an allergy attack that bad. Like, I went home, took a couple Benadryl, and just, you know, went to bed. Like, I pretty much, I almost slept probably for, like, 16 hours. I'm not even kidding. So I was pretty tapped out. So that was insane. Like, I never had anything like that before. But that was going down. But this week, that's all right. Because, you know what? We are like ready to go this week. I'm refreshed, recharged, and we've got two killer interviews because one, I mentioned AJ Styles is going to be on the show in a little bit. And two, we also got Jimmy Uso of the Usos, tag team champion. He's on the show too. We have a great conversation there as WWE Live is heading to the Rochester Mayo Civic Center coming up this Monday, Labor Day. So you don't really have an excuse to not go. I mean, you have the day off, so if you have any plans, who cares? You should cancel them because WWE's in town, well, in Rochester, which is only an hour away from La Crosse, so there's no reason for you to not go. It's the SmackDown tour, so you got all those SmackDown stars. House shows, we can go on and on about how great house shows are and how interactive they are, but you know what? I don't think I need to sell you on these. They're fun. There's no reason for you to not go. If you need some last-minute tickets, head to Ticketmaster. I think if you buy four, you get 25% off. So basically, you buy three tickets to get one free, essentially. So that's not a bad deal. Good reason to, you know, rally the troops and go in together. Maybe if you're just with one person, you just find a random couple and just go with them. Make it a random double date. So you've got plenty of options there. So make your way to the Mayo Civic Center this Monday. But you know what, Pete? I think we should talk about things that are going on in the world of professional wrestling because a lot's been happening since our last show, like the last show that we did. SummerSlam, of course, happened. I took the lead in the predictions. I took a nice little four-point lead. So I've got that heading into No Mercy coming up real soon. So that was good, at least for my sake. What were your overall your thoughts of the pay-per-view itself?
I talked about this a little bit with Sean Thornton, and we both kind of agreed that SummerSlam, like the second half of the show, really seemed to pick up a lot, but that was like 2 hours in.
Right.
To, like, the four-hour pay-per-view. So that was kind of a big bummer. I didn't watch it that Sunday. I watched it the following Monday. Just had a bunch of stuff going on. I wasn't able to watch it. And I fast forwarded through a lot of the first half of the show and even a part of the second half of the show as well. And it was really disappointing too, because I'd seen on social media that a lot of the pre-show matches were really good. So I went back and watched the SummerSlam pre-show. And like, I think they started having matches in like the second hour of the pre-show too, which was insane to me that like they did that. It was so long. I think we're at a point now where I understand that they own the network, so they're able to make shows as long as they want to. They don't have to worry about the pay-per-views and all that kind of stuff. But I really would like to see them either use that time more efficiently, or they need to cut down on the length of the pay-per-view overall, because for a lot of people to dedicate 6.5-7 hours to watch a pay-per-view, you know, even once every 4 months, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of sitting. It's not very exciting. It's not a whole lot of fun. And then when they're just putting in like filler matches in the beginning of the pay-per-view itself, that's not good. And again, I have many, many issues with them putting any title match on the pre-show, because I think it does a disservice not only to the performers but the championships themselves, showing that, you know, this particular title isn't as important as the Universal title. And I'm not saying that everybody's going to be Universal champion, but your Cruiserweight champions, your tag team champions, you know, all of these other people that have worked hard to get to a point where the company trusts them to hold the title, you know, you can get people warmed up with some great matches, but you don't have to have them be title matches on the pre-show when people are still filing in. The arena's not full. People aren't, you know, they're in the arena, but they're maybe wandering around looking at merchandise, getting snacks. So that needs to change immediately. They need to stop putting title matches on the pre-show would be one of my bigger complaints from the overall production. But yeah, it wasn't my favorite SummerSlam. A lot of it felt predictable. You know, even with the picks that you and I made too, like we kind of agreed on more of them than, you know, than not, but it just didn't seem like there's a whole lot of excitement with what they were doing, even though they had some very good matches along the way.
It's funny because you mentioned all those pre-show matches and way too many matches that they had all together. You think about the first match, the security didn't even let the fans in for the first match. So it was pretty much empty for, the Miz Mirage versus Jason Jordan and the Hardys. So that was a bit of a flaw there, that's for sure. But overall, the pay-per-view, yeah, it was a lot. Like I always started watching late because I was coming from the Milwaukee area. And of course, my internet was kind of cutting out, so the streaming wasn't the greatest. So I kind of casually watched the first couple matches. I was a little tuned out. I finally like started getting into it till at like the tail end of the show. I skipped Orton and Rusev, and it looked like I didn't really miss much anyways because it was like a 10-second match. I don't think it was that bad of a SummerSlam. It was the SummerSlams always kind of underwhelm me a little bit. I'm always like kind of excited, and then it delivers. But all in all, it's setting up the second half of the year leading up to WrestleMania. It's the early pieces to the puzzle. You have this, and then you have the Raw after and the SmackDown after SummerSlam. You get a call up from Bobby Roode. You have John Cena switching over to Monday Night Raw. So you have a lot of new storylines kind of unfolding as we kind of get into the swing of things before the Royal Rumble. Things still get a little bit hot right now because you have Braun Strowman facing off against Brock Lesnar at No Mercy. That'll be exciting just because it's two beasts. I mean, I'm sure you have a different opinion on that because you're not the biggest fan of Brock Lesnar as Universal Champion. But then you also get a big money match that I did not think we would get this soon between John Cena and Roman Reigns. And they had a heck of a promo on Monday Night Raw. Did you catch that, Pete?
Yeah, it was good. I think it really showcased why, for as much as people knock John Cena, I don't think you can ever knock his promos. He is one of the best talkers that has ever come through WWE, and he showed it again going up against Roman Reigns. And, you know, on Roman's side of things too, I think he did a very good promo for Roman Reigns. But, I mean, John Cena, you know, even said it in the promo too, is that he's taken a lot longer to develop on the microphone, and I think part of that is that they protected him and tried to hide him from that, which hasn't helped him over his career thus far. But, you know, in terms of what this match is going to do, it's not going to end. I think that's the one thing that a lot of people have overlooked right now, is that whenever this match goes on the card, whether it's first, the middle, the last match of the night, it cannot end because neither one of these guys is able to get pinned. They'll just power up, kick out of it, and then they'll continue to go for like another 3, 4, 5 minutes before there's another pinfall attempt. So for people that haven't been paying attention, this is a match that will never end. Neither of these guys is going to get pinned or submit. So I don't think the creative really planned ahead for this one. It'll be interesting to see how they kind of stop this match, because between these two guys, it has the potential to go on for the rest of eternity.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. I just wanted this to be at a bigger event. As much as I like them to even out and make you excited for an event like No Mercy when it's kind of a fallout pay-per-view after SummerSlam. Oh, man, this just has WrestleMania match written all over it between these two guys. I mean, they delivered a WrestleMania-selling promo, but it's going to be at No Mercy, and that might have to do with John Cena's schedule. Maybe he just can't really have one more big program, which you got to think he can. I just thought that Pass the Torch moment had to happen at a bigger event, but kind of like you said, I just don't think we'll get a finish to this match. So all in all, it's kind of a bummer, but on the SmackDown side of things, things are picking up a little bit as Bobby Roode makes his call up to the main roster. It looks like he's going to be working as a babyface too. What are your thoughts on Bobby Roode's call up?
It was one of the things that I don't think anybody didn't expect it to happen anytime right. soon. The TakeOver pay-per-views are generally kind of the launching point of when they're going to move somebody forward to the main roster. And when you look at what they've got down there in a guy like Drew McIntyre, they had the Adam Cole reveal. If you didn't watch TakeOver, Adam Cole finally made his debut for NXT. And then he was also with Bobby Fish and the other half of Red Dragon, who I can't remember right now. But it looks like they are restocking with some very, very good talent at this point. I think that they have, in just taking Bobby Roode, they're not losing much. Bobby Roode obviously has been a huge draw for them down in NXT. But you got a guy like Drew McIntyre down there who can still make something happen. People forget that Roderick Strong is still available. They have Johnny Gargano back now. There's a lot of good talent down in NXT. There's a lot of guys that can really step up and make something happen. So from that standpoint, you know, I think it's a good thing for Bobby Roode. I think it's a good thing for NXT that they're able to let him go because he was only there for about a year and a half. And obviously it wasn't because he didn't know how to wrestle. He's wrestled for many, many years, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Bobby Roode. And I think right now, you know, having him work kind of as that tweener babyface sort of look is good for him. But ultimately, I feel like they're going to switch him back to a heel because I think his gimmick and the way that he works, he's just a little bit better as a heel than he has as a face.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And with this call up, it feels more like things just kind of worked out. A lot of times I kind of dread when they call up guys because I just feel it gets rushed. I didn't want Ty Dillinger to get called up because you look at him now and see what's happening. Nothing. So as much as some guys deserve to, you know, be on the main roster and get a big payday, it long term, it just does not seem to benefit them. So when considering that, this one looks like it's going to be good call up. It's a meaningful call up. He's filling in a void that John Cena is giving by heading to Monday Night Raw in terms of star power. So with how marketable he's been in NXT, he's been a big part of that NXT roster the past year and change. So it'll be good to have him on SmackDown. And they didn't really like leave a hole from a story standpoint on NXT because after Drew McIntyre beat Bobby Roode for that title, of course, they picked things up right away with Adam Cole, you know, making his debut, and they're going to have a program now, and it's perfect. Instead of having I guessed it was going to be Bobby Roode winning at NXT. I think you did too. And then him against Roddy Strong and just kind of like another one of those, you know, matches where it's just like a placeholder, you know? So you have this meaningful program between McIntyre and Adam Cole, and you have Bobby Roode coming up to the SmackDown roster, and you have John Cena on Raw. So things really kind of worked out in a good way. So it's nice to see that. I'm looking forward to seeing what's to come on all ends. I mean, things are exciting on Raw. Things are exciting on SmackDown with Bobby Roode. I mean, he's just kind of doing some matches now, but I'm sure he'll get in a program with a guy like Dolph Ziggler, kind of ease his way into the main event picture. And then you have Drew McIntyre and Adam Cole. So things are looking pretty good for the most part. What have you had a chance to watch the Mae Young Classic yet?
No, I haven't. I saw that it dropped. It was Monday or Tuesday earlier this week.
I don't know if I like that it's on demand or not. What do you think? Because they launched the first four episodes on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the way that they had set it up with the Cruiserweight Classic, where it was like every Wednesday, you know, before or after NXT. I can't remember what it was. But they had it, you know, the one-hour show where they had the different matches going through. So I really wish they would have done it that way again. because it really was must watch, you know, programming. And I think the cool thing is that you knew that you were going to watch it for the hour that led into NXT, you know, so that was a good 2 hours to spend to watch the program. And again, I think it speaks to, well, yes, they have come a very long way with how they use the women wrestlers on the roster. The fact that, you know, they did the UK tournament live over an entire weekend. They did the Cruiserweight Classic, you know, one show a week for 10, 12 weeks, whatever it was. And then they had the Mae Young Classic, and the first four shows are just right on demand. So, I don't know. It feels like it's a slight, because I feel like they really could have done, you know, the once a week or whatever it is to get the build up. And that was part of the thing that really kind of rubbed me the wrong way too, is that it just appeared. Like, there was no big build up. Like the Cruiserweight Classic, they talked about it, they promoted it. You know, if you watched anything on the network, it's, you know, 3 weeks, the Cruiserweight Classic, 2 weeks, the Cruiserweight Classic, this Wednesday, the Cruiserweight Classic. And then with this, they've been talking about it. They've been talking about the wrestlers that are going to be in this tournament. And then all of a sudden, four episodes just appear, and at least from my standpoint, I didn't see any promos or like anything to know that it was going to be that day that they were going to drop, you know, the first four episodes.
I like their thinking in doing this, because a lot of times as consumers, especially now, this generation, us lazy millennials, we like to binge watch shows. So I totally get that. But the one thing that's keeping like live TV alive is sports and sports entertainment. I mean, the fact that you have weekly programming from WWE, that's like the point of it. You know what I mean? So like, you like, obviously live sports, people are going to watch the Twins game live. They're not going to you're not going to watch three Twins games at once. Granted, it's longer than, you know, four episodes of the Mae Young Classic, but it just didn't make sense to me. So, like, because they did it with Holy Foley. They did like five episodes. You binge watch it. You have fun. You know, you can watch it all at once instead of watching one half an hour and then, you know, waiting a whole week while they already pre-recorded the episode. So I get and understand their thinking. It just doesn't work for something like this, especially with the Cruiserweight Classic. You had these shows air once a week, and it got people talking about the couple matches that they had. You know, and actually knowing who these superstars are, everyone was talking about Cedric Alexander. I mean, he kind of made a name for himself in this tournament, and everyone kept talking about him, you know, week after week, instead of like, if they did four episodes of the Cruiserweight Classic like that, I just don't think people would, you know, really catch on. Maybe they're just going to do the four with the opening round. Maybe after that, after the following rounds, they'll just do one at a time, and, you know, it'll work out, and people get behind these guys, and it'll be a really fun and entertaining thing. But I'm not too sure about that. And the other thing I learned is the fact that the finals for the Mae Young Classic will actually be either after or before the SmackDown taping in Las Vegas coming up in September. I don't know how I feel about that, because I just don't think it's the same thing with like 205 Live. When the big arena, a lot of people that aren't familiar with these talents versus the really hardcore fans at Full Sail. I just don't think it's as good of a venue for that. You know what I mean?
It's really tough, you know, in that aspect too, because you have a lot of really good women wrestlers in this tournament from top to bottom. I think they found some of the best independent women wrestlers out there. And when you look at the venue size, I think that's kind of the biggest issue. Not so much the fans that will attend something like this, but it's the venue size. It's why the first few takeover pay-per-views were maybe more in like the 6,000 to 8,000 capacity arenas. It was the smaller venues to give it a bigger, you know, a more full feel. And I think the fans that were going to this particular show, especially since it was the night before the big pay-per-view, they got really excited about it. They knew what to expect. They knew that it was going to be an incredible event. So the people that wanted to go were able to go. And I think that's why it would sell out as quickly as it did. And again, with this tournament, just the way that they've laid everything out, I mean, it was either the night before or the week before for the Cruiserweight Classic. They had that hour-long preview show of, here are the wrestlers, here's what you need to know, you know, here are some of the first-round matchups. And again, they just kind of rolled out different articles with like four to six women on there each time about, oh, this is so-and-so, and they come from here, and this is why they think they're going to win. You know, it just, it feels like they had the opportunity to recreate the magic of the Cruiserweight Classic with the Mae Young Classic. And for whatever reason, whether it's timing, the money that they were allotted to do this, whatever the case is, it just feels, or, and again, maybe it's the scheduling for the women wrestlers themselves. Maybe they were only intent on signing like eight of them right off the bat, and the other ones have different opportunities that they want to pursue. So they want to let them get back out there and start working their scheduled dates, you know, without having any interference with the tournament. I don't know, but the logistics of this tournament just don't feel nearly as good as it did with the Cruiserweight Classic or even the UK tournament that they did earlier this year.
Well, they actually did do a bracketology show after SummerSlam, so they did do that, but still, the execution just, it feels different and just doesn't quite feel as exciting as the Cruiserweight Classic. And I like the UK tournament just because it was just kind of like, you know, obviously they're in the UK, but it was just a two-day tournament. They didn't, like, scale that one as huge, but it was exciting and fun, and they had some good storylines with it, so... we'll see how it goes, and I'm sure when it's all said and done, we'll be looking back and talking about it being a great tournament. Just right now, things feel a little flat, but when we return, we've got an awesome interview. I'm so excited about this. It's none other than the United States champion, the phenomenal AJ Styles. Stick around. It's All Things Wrestling Radio on today's Talk 1490.
We don't get hype. We stay hype.
Yo, it's your boy, WWE SmackDown Superstar Mojo Rawley coming at you. And you are listening to All Things Wrestling Radio.
Hi, bros!
If you have Labor Day plans, you better cancel them because WWE Live is heading to the Rochester Mayo Civic Center coming up this Monday. It's about to be a great time because SmackDown Live is taking over. You can see a lot of your favorite talents. You can see the Viper, Randy Orton. You can see the WWE champion, Jinder Mahal. You can see the women's champion, Natalya. And the person that's on the phone with me, United States champion, the phenomenal AJ Styles. What's going on, AJ?
Nothing much, man. Just getting ready to get on the road and do this thing.
Is this the first time you've been in Rochester?
Oh, surely not. After 18 years in this business, surely not.
Well, you know, I just thought I'd ask because I had we had Sami Zayn before the last time Rochester was in town. And for him, it was actually like the first time, at least specifically in Rochester. But I just thought I'd ask because you never know with, the, you know, how.
Well, there's always the possibility.
Right.
You know, I've wrestled in so many places, performed in so many places, I don't even know where I've been at this point. I just assume I've been there.
Sure, that's fair. Hey, so last week, a week ago, personally, I took the day off work and went to the great Minnesota get-together, the Minnesota State Fair, and surely enough, you were there the day after making an appearance. How was your time at the fair?
Oh, it was great, man. I met a lot of fans there, man. It was a really good time, signed a lot of autographs, took a lot of pictures. It was great.
That's awesome. Did you partake in any of the treats?
Well, I didn't. I had to be in Baton Rouge the next day, so I literally flew out that night. It was get in, get out, get to where I need to be kind of thing.
Good for you, because honestly, if you got in there, you probably would be wearing a T-shirt for your next match.
Yeah, I would assume there was some deep-fried stuff up there. At least that's the way it is down the South, and I can't turn that down.
Right, absolutely. So we got this big show coming up on Monday. It's Labor Day, which is awesome, too. So, you know, kind of feel like a Sunday. You don't have to, you know, really worry about work or anything like that. Tell me about your time with SmackDown Live. It's been, a couple of years now. You've been doing your thing. You've been WWE champion. You've been now your United States champion. Just tell me about your time in WWE. How's it been thus far after so long, as an independent wrestler?
Well, you know, the thing is, I haven't even been in the WWE for 2 years, but it feels like I've been there for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good thing, man. It's home to me now. I'm really enjoying it. I mean, your ultimate goal is always to make it to WWE. And then, you know, I've been with bigger companies. In fact, I've been, I think, the biggest outside of WWE, but there's nothing like WWE. It really isn't. It's an animal. It's just this huge global thing that you can imagine how big it is. And it's just been great. I mean, it really has. I've really enjoyed myself. I've been WWE champions, like you said, and now United States champion. I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on being United States champion versus WWE champion?
Well, I think with the United States champions, I feel like I'm representing the United States and what it stands for. You know, a hardworking guy, you know, I always say that I'm the workhorse of WWE. And don't get me wrong, there are some other guys that really give me a run for my money when I say that. But when it comes to SmackDown Live, I feel like the guy that's holding the United States championship has something to prove every time he steps in the ring. And that's why I enjoy that championship so much, the United States championship, is because the guy holding it, man, get ready for a great match.
Oh, definitely. And plus, you have your United States Open challenges that you do. Is there any chance you'll have that in Rochester? And two, is there any chance I could partake?
I will have the championship in Rochester. I don't think you'll be able to partake. You got to pass a physical and all that stuff. And I don't see you getting to Pittsburgh and getting that done before the show.
That's a good point.
Otherwise, we'd get in the ring and, you know, we put on a show.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'd tear the house down. But no, all jokes aside, I'm guessing you've had your program with the Ron's Burgundy definition of San Diego, Kevin Owens. Will you be in the ring with him, or you think Baron Corbin? What do we have in store for Monday?
You know, I'm not sure what's in store for us, but I can guarantee you the championship will be on the line. In fact, I may hold another open challenge. So, you never know what's going to happen. That's why you got to be at the show. You're going to have, you know, Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal. They're probably going to go at it for the championship. There's a lot of championships that'll be up for grabs, and that's what is exciting about WWE.
Well, yeah, and that's the beauty of these house shows, too. I mean, you won the United States Championship for the first time in Madison Square Garden. That wasn't a televised show, so honestly, anything can happen, right?
Exactly, man, and that's a big deal. That the last time that, you know, a title exchanged hands on a live event, well, shoot, I think it was maybe 2012, and that was the tag team championship.
Right.
So I can only imagine what else could take place on the live event.
Definitely. Well, hopefully for your sake, history won't be made again with that regard, since you're a champion at least this time. But what's it like having a lot of these familiar faces working under one roof, especially the guys that you've worked with for so many years? Everybody just happens to be joining WWE at the same time. What's it like?
Well, I mean, the cream will rise to the top, man. All the guys that have, were great and still are, belong here. You know, there's a reason why they're here. It isn't because a bunch of friends have brought them over. They belong here, and that's why you're seeing Samoa Joe and Bobby Roode and a lot of the guys that I went through the independents with. You know, they have what it takes to be at this level, or they wouldn't be here. And speaking of Bobby Roode, I think he may be on these live events as well.
I saw it online.
Okay, see, there you go. There's another exciting thing to be there for, to be at the show for, because Bobby Roode makes his, you know, live event debut. He made his television debut, but now he's on the road. So that's exciting.
Well, it's awesome, too, because NXT was literally in St. Paul, very close to Rochester, about a month ago, and that was when he was NXT champion, defending his title against, I believe, Roderick Strong. So that was awesome. And surely enough, about a month later, we get to see him in Rochester with the SmackDown tour, doing his thing. And it's been fun thus far. And it's cool to see what you're doing on SmackDown Live. And just overall, I love one thing about SmackDown Live is the fact that you guys have a lot of pride in your show. And while in years past, it's been the B show, but you guys really don't make it, you know, seem that way. You don't want that to happen, which is really cool.
Right. I don't like being considered the B show. I think we got an A-plus product, and it might as well be treated that way. The fact of the matter is, yeah, there's a lot of stars, huge WWE stars on Raw. So we are going to do what we do best. We're going to take it to the ring and put on an unbelievable show with unbelievable talent that we have on SmackDown Live.
Definitely. It's been quite a year for you, too. Well, year and change, I suppose. But your first year, especially, I mean, you jumped right in. You had the Royal Rumble appearance. You had your first WrestleMania match. Then you become champion, a WWE champion, that is. You had another Mania match against Shane McMahon. What's next for you, man?
Well, I think the first thing is, you know, eventually getting back to the WWE championship and, you know, and again, making a memorable moment at WrestleMania. I think that's, I think Shane and I and Jericho and I had that moment, but you can't have enough of them. And I want to make another moment at WrestleMania biggest stage there is when it comes to what we do. So, yeah, I mean, there's always something. There's always goals to be set. And there's always challenges. So I'm going to keep taking them on.
How do you stay hungry?
How do I stay hungry, man? I'm always hungry. I think that's the reason why I'm in the place that I am is because I stay hungry. I want more. I'm never content with where I'm at, and I never will be until it's over. You know, like I said, in setting these goals keeps me hungry because I want to see how much I can accomplish. In that first year, there were goals set, and I accomplished a lot of those goals. But as soon as you accomplish one, you set another. And that's what it's all about. That's how you stay hungry. See how much you can accomplish in the shortest amount of time. That's what it's all about. And you make goals that almost aren't obtainable. You know, they're just so far out of reach. You don't know if that's even possible. You set those goals because there's always a chance. You know, that it's just like, you know, fighting. Anybody has a punching chance. I hate to quote James Ellsworth, but any man with two hands has a chance.
Not every day you hear that, but we're on the phone with United States champion AJ Styles. AJ, we've got WWE Live in Rochester, Minnesota coming up this Monday at the Mayo Civic Center. Tickets are still available starting at $15, the best value in entertainment. Tell us, you know, just if anybody hasn't been to a WWE show or a SmackDown show, so on and so forth, why should people buy tickets?
Well, it's one thing to watch it on television. It's another to be there live. And the great thing about live events is that we, as performers, get to meet these fans. We get, you know, a lot of times get up close and personal, depending how far or close you are to the ring, you know. But even then, if you're on the stands, I look for people the furthest away so that I can say hello to them, you know, especially like when they have AJ Styles signs, I make sure that I point them out and I make sure that they know that I saw it and I appreciate it. There's, you know, a lot of times where you can get more personal with your fans, and that's what it's about. That's what we do, and that's what live events are all about because, you know, like I said, it's one thing to watch it on television. It's a totally different thing to be there live, and you never know what to expect.
Well, it's always cool, too, with those live events, too, compared to, like, a TV taping when you're at those, just because, like you said, you get to be more interactive with the fans. It's just fun, especially, you know, seeing what you're doing, you know, seeing your fans, giving them, you know, giving them some love, two-sweeting them, so on and so forth. That's just the beauty of it.
Yeah, that's what we want. That's what we want to do. We want to make it a moment that, you know, fans will never forget, you know, especially the little kids, you know, and share a moment with them that, I mean, you make a fan for life, you know, and I can tell you from a parent's perspective that if someone treats my kid well and knowing my kid has a good time, I will always go back.
Right on, man. Well, hey, we'll be there ringside. Looking forward to seeing you there. I'll be sure to be nice and loud for you so you know it's me. And we'll tear the house down. It'll be a good time, man.
Yeah, man, I hope to see everybody there.
Great conversation there with WWE United States Champion AJ Styles, the phenomenal one. It was awesome to have him on the show. Big thanks to WWE for setting that interview up. Of course, you can catch WWE live at the Rochester Mayo Civic Center on Monday. Hey, when we return, we've got a conversation with Jimmy Uso, one half of the tag team champion, the Usos, and me and Pete will hype up WWE live in Rochester a little bit more because it's safe to say we're a little bit excited. It's All Things Wrestling Radio on today's Talk 1490.
Five. Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of Potipea, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion and CEO of DDP Yoga. And you, monkey, well, you're listening to All Things Wrestling. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Fun time chatting with WWE United States Champion AJ Styles. That was definitely one for the All Things Wrestling Radio bucket list in terms of interviews. So that was pretty cool. Thanks to our friends at WWE for setting that up. Of course, you're listening to All Things Wrestling Radio on Today's Talk 1490 and online at todaystalk1490.com. It's Isaac Wenzel and Panda Pete. Yeah, Pete, man, AJ Styles. I mean, we've come a long way in the past couple of years in terms of interviews. I mean, we started off the Lowly Little Podcast. You know, we had Robbie.
You started off with me.
Well, yeah, I started off with you. but we had, you know, Robbie E was one of our first ones. We had Sonya Deville, who's now Sonya Deville. She was Daria from Tough Enough. We also had Al Snow. Then we kind of, that was like our early era. That was like the early Federation era. Then we had the Diamond Dallas Page era where we had, you know, we had DDP on. He's been on a few times, good friend of the show. And then our friends at WWE have really come through lately, especially with all these events in the area. You got to hope we keep getting more shows so we can keep getting these guests on. I mean, we've had the Big Show.
Mojo and Corbin and AJ and the Big Show and Big E. I mean, Rusev. We've had tons of great guests.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. I mean, you just look at some of our graphics. You see some of our previous guests. How about Jake the Snake Roberts, WWE Hall of Famer? We've had WWE Hall of Famers on our show, too. Even guys like, you know, old timers like Brutus the Barber Beefcake, he's been on the show before. It's been a lot of fun. It's been really cool to being able to chat with these guys. Next week on the show, that's right, we're not done with interviews this week. Next week, we've got former WWE Women's Champion Victoria, now known as Lisa Marie Varon. Of course, in TNA, she was Tara as well. Lisa, she has a lot to say, so it's going to be a great show. She's really fun. She's one of the questions, our guy Justin tweeting us at ATW Radio Tweets, saying and asking, is her real-life persona similar to her character? And, you know, for the most part, it is. And she even says that, so that's pretty funny. So overall, it was an awesome conversation. So you have that to look forward to next week. And this week, the fun continues because, of course, on Monday, we have WWE Live in Rochester, the Mayo Civic Center. Last time was a lot of fun last October. It was you and me and a couple of my buddies. So that was fun. We went to Max in Rochester, got some good Euros beforehand. I think we might need to, I don't know, have you been to a lot of places in Rochester?
No, no? I've not.
Chester is really good. The Loop is good. Of course, Newt's, like, if you really want a burger, that's good. Do you know about that Fatty Melt?
Mm-mm, I haven't heard of that before, I don't think.
No, it's like, insane, because it's a burger, and instead of the buns, it's two grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so.
Oh, good.
Well, and you're probably going to the State Fair this weekend, too, huh?
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow.
Okay, so
I'm going to get my fat kid on.
Yeah, so maybe we can get a salad or something. I'll be in Milwaukee tonight and tomorrow for a fantasy football draft. And with how things work there, it's always, you know, just with my buddies and stuff. I'm probably going to be morbidly obese by the time we get to Rochester. So we'll have to play it by ear when it comes to that. But I'm excited. It's fun. The house shows, interactive, stuff like that. Usually you get to be an idiot. I have a few cold ones and, you know, just goof around and enjoy some wrestling. The NXT show, too, was a lot of fun. So isn't it crazy to think about, and I talked about this with AJ, the fact that we're at NXT Live in St. Paul, July 29th. Now here we are about 5 weeks later. And we get to see Bobby Roode once again, but this time on the main roster.
Yeah, it's really cool how that works out. I'll be interested to see who they pair him up with, too, because I would like to know a little bit more into kind of what direction they want to go with him right now. So I think his opponent for the evening will really kind of give us an idea of where they have, you know, what their plans are with Bobby Roode. But, I mean, you know, overall, I think one of the cool things to me is just to see so many of these guys under one company now. It's not having to, you know, ship in Kevin Steen and El Generico and Samoa Joe and, you know, Bryan Danielson, have all these guys come into one, you know, venue for the night, and then they all go off and go work somewhere else too. You know, all these guys that grew up wrestling with each other. You look at, you know, Seth Rollins, a.k.a. Tyler Black, Dean Ambrose, a.k.a. Jon Moxley, you know, Bobby Roode, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, even Kurt Angle. All of these guys have worked together in different companies over the last 8-10 years. And now a good chunk of them are all working for the same company these days. So it's really interesting to see how that's all kind of come about, because, you know, you and I have been watching wrestling for a very long time, and I don't think that we ever expected to see, you know, the level of indie wrestlers make it into WWE. I think we all thought that kind of CM Punk and Daniel Bryan were going to be the best that we get. And we continue to just get more and more of these top level independent guys in WWE.
Did you see the PWI 500?
I saw part of the list. I didn't see all of it, but I just want to say that my guy, Tommaso Ciampa, higher on the list than that scumbag Johnny Gargano.
Well, what is he ranked?
I think Ciampa was like 68 or 69, and then Johnny was like 80.
Nice, if he was 69. But nonetheless, yeah. Okada, number one. First time a Japanese star, number one overall, which is pretty cool. AJ Styles, number two. I think Roman Reigns, number four. And I think the year before, Roman Reigns was number one. So people are complaining about Roman Reigns being four. Well, he could have been number one before, too. So the Roman Reigns haters can calm the F down. I'm really getting sick of the Roman Reigns haters and the John Cena haters. Our guy, Butch, man, he hates John Cena. It's insane. So I'm loving this program between Roman Reigns and John Cena. And you know what? For all the Roman Reigns haters, I hope Roman main events the next five WrestleManias. Make it eight in a row. Maybe make it 10 in a row. Just so you guys can stop complaining or keep complaining.
And I think the big thing, too, is it's Pro Wrestling Insider. It's not like it's WWE.com that puts this list together. So, I mean, they have people that are watching these matches and seeing what they're doing. And again, much like John Cena, Roman Reigns is rarely ever the reason why a move doesn't work or why something doesn't go the way that it's supposed to. You know, I think he's complimented so many different wrestlers. You look at what he's done, you know, against guys like Seth Rollins. You look at what he's done against guys with Kevin Owens. You know, and the list goes on and on. Braun Strowman, you know, through the last few months as well. And, yeah, I mean, I don't ever think that Roman Reigns is the reason why a match isn't good. It's not saying that he's not, you know, that he's the reason why a match is great. But very rarely does he make mistakes in the ring with what he's doing. He makes a lot of the other guys that are in the ring with him look very good, too. So, again, they might not be your personal cup of tea, but I think to say that they can't wrestle is not the correct way to go about it. They're not entertaining to you would be one way to put it, you know, but they're not going to put somebody in that spotlight that can't actually pull their weight in the ring. You can complain about his promos, because, yes, I still think Roman Reigns needs work on his promos. But, yeah, I mean, to have Roman Reigns be ranked that high, you know, consistently over the last couple of years shows that he really is getting it as a wrestler. Whether or not you want to believe that is totally your own prerogative. But Roman Reigns is not a bad wrestler. Maybe it's just his character that needs work.
And honestly, I don't even think his character needs that much work. I think it's working because so many people are – I'm telling you, a Roman Reigns house show versus like just a – you know, or just any show with Roman Reigns on it versus one that's not, I'm telling you, I think he's going to get more ticket sales. And it's same with John Cena. People paid to see him, whether they want to boo him or cheer him. And while I used to be on the side of like, John Cena should change his character, he should turn heel, he's stale. But, I mean, the thing is, if Roman turns heel, people are going to – you know, the fans that boo him are going to love him, and then the kids that love him are going to hate him. So what's the point? I mean, Triple H literally just said this the other day in an interview. So that's just my thoughts on the Roman situation. And Roman even said in an interview himself, he thinks he's in between. He doesn't think he's a face or a heel. He doesn't like to give himself that moniker. So that's just kind of my thoughts on that. But you know what? Instead of talking about Roman, let's talk about one of his cousins, Jimmy Uso. In fact, we're going to chat with him right now. It's none other than Jimmy Uso, tag team champion, one half of the Usos. Monday, Monday, Monday. It kind of feels like a Sunday, Sunday, Sunday because it's Labor Day, so you probably don't have to work or have class. So that means you got to get your butt down to the Rochester Mayo Civic Center for WWE Live. It's a SmackDown Live tour. Can see all of your favorites like AJ Styles, who we had on the show earlier. Also, you can see Jinder Mahal, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And, of course, you can see Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, Natalya, and one half, well, you can see both of them, actually, the WWE Tag Team Champions, but one half is on the phone with me, Jimmy Uso. Jimmy, how you doing, man?
What up, Uso? I'm good. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Looking forward to seeing you coming up on Monday. It's about to be a great time. It's been quite the year for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, man, let's go. You said it right. It's Labor Day weekend. Y'all ain't got nothing to do. Come on out and come check out this event, man. It's going to be cracking.
Yeah, I'm excited. It'll be cool to see you. Are you going to face off against the New Day, or what do we have in store?
Oh, yeah, we got New Day. We have a triple threat badge, yeah, because we got Breeze Dango in the mix, too. So it's the Usos, New Day versus Breeze Dango. So we got a little, you know, it's a big triple threat tag team match going on, along with other superstars, like you mentioned.
Yeah,
Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, Jinder Mahal, AJ Styles, my dude. So it's a stacked card, man. They better come check it out.
Yeah, not to mention Bobby Roode making his call up. He'll be at the show. He's advertised as well, so that'll be awesome. But I'm looking forward to seeing that triple threat tag team match. You and the New Day, you guys have had quite the program lately, dating back to earlier this summer when they made the move over from Raw. What's it been like working with the New Day? Obviously, you've become the champs a couple times now in the past year. You guys keep finding different ways to keep us entertained on TV.
And that's what it's about, man. And what other tag team to go with in New Day? Those cats are so entertaining, it's ridiculous. And to be in the program with those guys, man, you almost got to come up to their level. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep up with them or you're going to get lost. And they will overshine you, but that's one thing that they bought us up our game, like as far as like on the mic, because we never haven't really been getting to talk much until New Day, because those guys, they just talk. And then when it's time to work, they put that work in. But to go back and forth, I mean, come on, man, we had a rap battle in WWE for Christ. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of stuff. We couldn't do that with nobody else, but the Usos that knew they could do it. And it came off really cool and came off really fun, man. And kind of lost a couple friends that day, but hey, we're good. We here.
Yeah, that was a ton of fun just watching that. Seriously, like, you know, that was just one of those moments you're going to look back on in SmackDown history, and, you know, you're going to see that segment just because it was a lot of fun. So I'm sure it was really cool to be a part of that.
It was, man. But you should have seen, like, the energy was so different in there opposed to having a match.
Mm-hmm.
Because, they're quiet. Like, they were watching us, but they were also listening. I could tell, like, oh, man, they're in this as much as we're in this right now. So it was pretty fun, man. And the end, after that segment, man, it was like, man, I can't believe that was fun, and it was different, and it was entertaining. And if people didn't like it, then hell with you. I don't care. We'll do it again anyway.
It's Jimmy Uso of the Uso Brothers. Now, of course, yeah, you're putting the E in WWE there. But looking back, this has become kind of a modern-day version of, like, the Hardys and Dudleys, Edge and Christian. You guys have really paved the way with the tag team division in this generation. What's it like kind of being compared to those guys?
Man, it's an honor to be even mentioned in those, because me and my brother grew up watching those exact tag teams. And to be able to be mentioned in those names of tag team is so dope, man, because we take this tag team division for real. Because let's be real, we're twins. We are a tag team. We've been like this since we were born, man. So we look at this like, this is our division straight up. Like, it ain't no singles run right now. It ain't no Intercontinental. It ain't no WWE, man. We hold the tag team division where it's at, and we hold those titles right along with the Intercontinental Champions, the WWE Championship Tag Team. Because when we grew up watching the tag team division, that's exactly what it was. And it was fun, man. I remember watching those matches, the Dudleys, Hardys, Edge and Christian, all the way back even to, like, the Wild Samoans, Demolition Team, the Heart Foundation, Booker T, and Harlem Heat, man. Like, growing up watching those tag wrestling matches, those were fun. And it kind of got lost. Even in the Attitude Era, when I was growing up watching, those were still... tag team division was still cracking. Then it kind of got lost, kind of got strayed away from. You know, people, it really wasn't as big, and it was more in the single competitors. And when we came in, we was like, man, listen, any match we go in, any program we go in, any kind of win, we're going to go out there and act like it's WrestleMania every single night. And that's the mentality we have. And it comes off, and the fans respect it. And that's what I love about it, especially when you got four guys out there. It's a little tougher going out there and having to dance with four men opposed to just one-on-one. And it's tag team wrestling at its finest, man. And I'm having a blast doing it along with New Day.
Honestly, the one time where I kind of caught that from you guys, where you really treated like all of your matches like it is a WrestleMania match, was a few years ago. It was, you guys had a tag team championship match against The Shield. It was a Money in the Bank pre-show match. And that's where like I really became fans of you guys, because that match was awesome, especially if considering it was a pre-show match.
Man, dog, I can't believe you just mentioned that match, brother. That match right there is a pivotal match in our career, man, because it was The Shield. And they did have the tag titles. And, you know, the funny thing was, it was on the pre-show in Philadelphia. We were on the pre-show because they had no one to wrestle. We weren't in no program where we weren't doing anything.
Right.
We kind of just thrown in the match. Hey, you guys have the pre-show with The Shield, and you guys got all this time. I was like, what? I was like, oh, man. So, yeah, so we went out. Some of our brother kind of got together. He was like, yo, man, this is our chance to actually show them, hey, we can go too. Like, we can go. So we went out there and killed it, man. But I remember going out there and being booed as the babyfaces. And when they came out, the place erupted. And I'm sitting in the middle of the ring looking around Philly. Like, this is a heel crowd. The Shield is over as hell right now. And we're sitting in the ring like, man, we can turn it. Like, the way we can turn them, we can get their respect here tonight. By the end of that match, there was some Uso vibes going through the crowd, which made me happy, man. And that night was crazy, man. It's funny you mentioned that. Yeah, that night was a turn, a big turn for the Usos. So I appreciate it, man. That was I hold that match real close to my heart. Plus, it was with my cousin too, with Joe. I'm Roman. Sorry, man. So it was a cool night, definitely.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun match indeed. And of course, I know you're a busy man. You've got a lot going on. Of course, on Monday, you've got a big match, this triple threat match for the Tag Team Championships. We'll see you at SmackDown Live coming up on Monday. Tickets starting at just $15. Best value in entertainment. Jimmy, before we go, just what do you got to tell to people that are on the fence on buying a ticket?
Hey, man, if y'all ain't ever been to no WWE show, period, y'all need to come check it out. And y'all ain't got nothing to do Labor Day weekend, man. Come out and have fun with WWE. We gonna be in your city. We got everybody for you. Like we say, AJ Styles, Jinder Mahal, Kevin Owens, the Usos. We even got the Divas gonna be there. Y'all come out and support them. Check it out.
Awesome. Well, look forward to seeing you there, man.
I appreciate it. Oh, thank you, man.
Thanks for listening to All Things Wrestling Radio. Be sure to follow the show on Facebook.com/ All Things Wrestling Radio and on Twitter @ATW Radio Tweets.